So today I'll be reading from 1 Peter 1, verses 8 to 12, and it says, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things." Now I'm just going to pray. Father, we thank you because far apart or together you still speak to us. We thank you because your word never changes and you never change. Lord, we thank you because David has allowed himself to become a vessel through which you speak today. Lord, we pray that you'd use him to speak to us as individuals and as a community. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom and the anointing that you've given him. And Father, we ask for more. We pray that you'd renew his strength by your Spirit daily so that he can continue to reveal those truths and those revelations that you've given him in line with your vision. Father, we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Yinda, and hello, everyone. Our series in 1 Peter is called A Church Without Walls, and it's amazing how Peter had the opportunity to see the church spread from a few hundred people gathered in Jerusalem to then thousands in Jerusalem. And then he got asked to go and speak to Cornelius, a non-Jew, a Gentile. And not just did Cornelius come to know Christ, but then as time went on, Peter saw the good news of Jesus spread and grow and scatter across the kind of whole region. And 1 Peter, he's writing to many thousands of Christians across modern day Turkey, kind of Pontus, Cappadocia, Bithynia and Galatia. We read at the beginning of the book of 1 Peter. And, you know, I just was thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful to see more of that kind of spread and growth of the gospel in our time? And so I wonder, how does that happen? How does that happen? Well, it happens because the church is the people, not the building. The church is people who know about Jesus Christ and talk about Jesus Christ. And that message that they share cannot be contained by walls or persecution. It cannot be contained by imprisonment, which is something we see time and again in the book of Acts and through church history. And it cannot be contained by the restrictions that COVID brings in our time as well. In fact, what we see time and again is that God is able to use even those things that might seem to us like restrictions or opposition. God is able to use those to lead to even greater spread and extension and growth of the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. In China, one of the places where that's maybe been most noticeable, from the time of about 1960 to the year 2000, there has been great opposition to the Christian message under communism in China. And yet the gospel, the good news, has spread there about tenfold, from just a few million to nearly 100 million Christians in that region. And it is amazing what God is able to do. And God is the same God now. And I believe that God can use even what we're facing at the moment to cause the spread and the growth and the scattering of this good news of Jesus Christ. Well, how does that happen? Well, that's what we're going to be looking at this morning in this passage in 1 Peter, about declaring our salvation, celebrating it and sharing it. Celebrating Jesus Christ, the one who is our rescuer and savior, and sharing about him. And so first, celebrating Christ. We see something really strange in this passage. that this rescuer, this one they're celebrating, is one that none of those that Peter is writing to have seen. Look with me at verse 8. He says this. He says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. See, none of those that Peter was writing to saw Christ like Peter did. In fact, Peter heard Jesus say these amazing words in John chapter 20, verse 29. Jesus said this after he'd risen from the dead. He said to Thomas and to the other disciples, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. And those in modern-day Turkey, that kind of region that Peter was writing to, they hadn't seen Jesus, and yet they had come to believe in him and love him. And the same was true of Cornelius, and the same was true, as we've been hearing about, of Rob. And that has been my experience as well. I know it has been for many of you listening to this as well. And I hope that if you are just tuning in or have been in recent weeks and months and you're still exploring who Jesus is, I hope that you will discover just how wonderful Jesus Christ is. He is remarkable. He is remarkable. There is no one like him, so compassionate, courageous, loving, kind, faithful, humble, wise, witty, powerful. There is no one literally as perfect as he is. In fact, no one is perfect except Christ. There is no one else I have ever heard of or know of who did the kind of miracles that Jesus did. There is no one else I've ever heard of or know of who taught with such wisdom as Jesus taught, that has affected people all through the sort of millennia, and also across whole nations that have been impacted by his teaching. There is no one who died, at least no one I've heard of and know of, who died for me in that kind of way, that I could have life and forgiveness like Jesus did. And there's no one I know of or have heard of who rose again, and who no one has ever found their body in a tomb, and who appeared to at one time 500 people after his resurrection. There is no one like that. In fact, people today are still discovering just how amazing Jesus is. There's a famous scientist in our time, a man called Francis Collins, who's the head of the director of the Human Genome Project, which has led to some amazing breakthroughs in scientific research and medicine. And he, as a scientist, just pursued his kind of medical profession and science background. And one day was challenged by one of his patients about what he thought about God. And he said, you know, I realized at that point that I'd never really explored the evidence. And he says, I was meant to be a scientist. And yet when he did, he discovered that there was far more evidence than he realized. And he learned about Jesus and came to put his trust in him. And you can hear more of his story on the Alpha course. I encourage you, take time to do Alpha and to ask those questions and explore some of the evidence. Jesus is a remarkable person. He lived, died, and rose again, and promises life to the full, eternal life to those who will believe in him. You know, though I have not seen him, I love him. Though I do not see him now, I believe in him, and I'm fine. I'm filled time and again with this joy that is kind of hard to describe. It's a joy in what Jesus has done for me, what he is doing for me, and what he will do for me. And it's a joy that's kind of encapsulated by this amazing word in our passage at the end of verse 9. It says, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You know this word salvation, which maybe you kind of don't come across that much. It has to do with this idea of being rescued, of being freed, of being kind of brought out into a place that is secure and safe, a kind of spacious place. You know, freedom is a wonderful thing. We're all struggling with some of these COVID restrictions. And actually, it would be wonderful, wouldn't it, to be completely free and come into a time where there's freedom from COVID restrictions. But, you know, the freedom that Jesus Christ has won for us, a much greater freedom than just freedom from COVID restrictions. And it's wonderful, too. One of the reasons we have the restrictions is to try and help keep people safe. And safety and security is a wonderful thing. But there is a freedom and a safety and a security that's bigger than just being safe from COVID. There is something wonderful that Jesus does for us. There is a salvation that is immense. If you like, it's like if someone was sort of sinking in quicksand and someone got hold of them and lifted them up onto a solid rock, or if they were drowning and a rescuer, a lifeguard, comes and lifts them up and gets them on the beach. And you know, as I was thinking about these kind of pictures of salvation, I was reminded of a scene I love in a very famous film called Star Wars. It's the scene when Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, Princess Leia, they're kind of stuck in a garbage disposal unit on the Death Star. And here they are in that unit, and they're kind of, the sides of the walls are kind of beginning to squeeze in on them and to put pressure on them. And they think they're going to kind of be squeezed really, really kind of crushed. And you know, this time with COVID, I think many of us are feeling under pressure, even crushed, squeezed by the different anxieties and worries about all jobs and health and our kids and the future and the uncertainties. There is a lot of pressure in these days. But, you know, back to kind of Luke and Leia in this garbage disposal unit, they also discover it's not just the kind of pressure, that there are monsters lurking in the garbage, looking to kind of drag them down. And again, in this COVID time, we've kind of discovered some of these kind of monsters that have come up and try to drag us down again, that, you know, addictions and mental health challenges and relational challenges and even guilt from the past that can try and grab us down and kind of suffocate us. But, you know, Anne and Leah and Luke, they kind of think, well, we know this is difficult, but we're going to try doing whatever we can to deal with this ourselves. They try and kind of brace the walls. We've got a picture here of them trying to use different things that they have to try and sort of help save their situation, but it doesn't work. But then they remember, Luke remembers he's got a kind of walkie-talkie, and he can call C-3PO, one of their sort of friends, a droid who's able to help them, and he's calling and crying out, C-3PO, come in, will you help me shut down this kind of squashing garbage disposal unit? And they're crying out, and they're crying out. They know they need help from someone outside the situation. And you and I too, we need help from someone outside of our problems, who can come and lift us, who can come and even break into our situation. And amazingly, that is what Jesus does. You know, he saved us from something. Jesus came and he saved me from the penalty of my sin, and you from the penalty of your sin if you will believe in him. He was crushed so that we don't have to be crushed. We could be rescued. He was kind of dragged under so that we could be lifted up. He took my rubbish and he's willing to take your rubbish if you will believe in him, and he will give you then his righteousness. The word the Bible uses for that is that we are justified. We're made right with God. It's something that he's done as we put our trust in him. But he's also doing something now in our lives. The Bible calls that process sanctification. We're kind of being made more like Jesus. He's working in us through his word and by his spirit. And that's a work which is building off this amazing victory he's won, breaking the power of sin. And so though we might still wrestle with temptation and sin, yet it doesn't have a hold on us like it did in the past. So Jesus is saving us, but one day he will save us completely from sin, from its presence, even around us. There will be no more sin or sickness or death or temptation. It will all be gone. And even now we can celebrate that kind of full, final salvation of our souls. That kind of means our kind of whole being saved. We will have that one day, and we can celebrate it now, a bit like Luke and Leah and Han, when they discovered that C-3PO had heard them and he kind of stopped these walls squashing him. There was such celebration, even though they were still in the garbage. And you know, we too can celebrate now with this inexpressible and glorious joy, because we know what is coming. We know what Christ has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. He's working out our glorious salvation. He's bringing us even now out into a spacious place where we know we're loved and he's for us, and we can put our hope in him. And you know, when you celebrate something, it gives you amazing motivation to share it, just like we've been hearing in this talk so far. And in verse 10 and 12, we see something of this being shared down with us, with the people that Peter's writing to, and it inspires us as we share Christ with others. Paul writes this, he says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke to you, verse 10, of the grace that was to come to you, searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted that the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. This message of the salvation of what Christ has done for us is so amazing that even angels kind of, even now, it's kind of present tense, are peering down thinking, this is amazing. And there's something about it that they can't even fully comprehend in a way that we can, or even that the prophets of old could kind of catch glimpses of, because the prophets, apostles, you and I, we know firsthand part of the problem of sin in our lives. We can see and feel the damage this caused in a way that the angels can't, and yet they marvel that there's been this message that's been worked out since the dawn of time that the prophets were kind of pointing to, and now the apostles have revealed it and we have heard it, this message that God would leave heaven and come to earth in Jesus Christ and be willing to suffer and become a man and take the punishment that you and I deserve so that we could be set free. And that's being worked out time and again, like Peter telling Cornelius, and then like Tim telling Rob, and all through church history by ordinary men and women who are touched by God's message and by the Spirit of God in such a way that they then share it with others. And that is what happened and is happening. It's one amazing story with Jesus Christ at the center. The Old Testament and New Testament both are kind of inspired by the Spirit of Christ and bear witness to Christ and are pointing to this amazing story that's all about Jesus, all about what he has done. It will always be about Jesus, and he is the one who can bring hope like no other. So why don't we share it more? Well, our society over recent decades has done a really good job at trying to help people believe that if they believe things about Jesus, that's just private, down to them. It's kind of called the privatization of faith. You know, you can take it or leave it. It's up to you. And so the stories of Jesus, they get taught in kind of school in RE, and it's so great. RE lessons are happening in school, but you know, really people then don't associate it with the real history and the kind of fact that Jesus is the most key person in all of history. He's the one that every child who's ever living should know about. In fact, not just children, but everyone everywhere needs to hear of this good news of Jesus Christ. When Peter realized that Jesus was alive, he started talking about it in Jerusalem. And just a few weeks after the events of Jesus' death and resurrection, he kind of got hauled up and brought to others because he was in trouble for speaking about Jesus. And this is what he said to the kind of Sanhedrin, this kind of council in Acts chapter 4. He said this. He said, Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Peter knew he needed to share what he had received, and he shared it, ordinary person though he was, in the power and help of the Holy Spirit, like we read in 1 Peter. In fact, even the prophets knew that they weren't just living for themselves and writing for themselves. It says in verse 12, it was revealed to them they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who preach the gospel, the good news to you by the help of the Holy Spirit. And so you and I, if we have heard this message, then like those prophets, let's not just serve ourselves. Let's look, how can we serve others? Who else are you serving? Who, like Amanda said, is your Cornelius? Or who are the Corneliuses around you? Because there's probably more than just one person who needs to hear of this good news. It's for everyone. It may well be that it's a neighbor or a friend or a family member or colleague at work, someone close to you, someone you know well. It may be that, like Peter going to Cornelius, there's that kind of stepping out of your comfort zone that you need to do. And like Peter, maybe you need to realize that this message is not something that's just for a few. You know, Peter and those around him kind of had ruled out huge swathes of the world. They thought maybe the Gentiles didn't need to hear this, but God says, no, don't rule them out. You know, don't rule someone out just because they're, you know, rich or poor. Or, don't rule out the beggar. Don't rule out the person who's who kind of seems to have life sorted, because they don't. You know, don't rule out someone because they seem too good or too bad or too busy. Don't rule them out. God has given us this message, and it's a message for everyone. In fact, don't even rule out that God might want you to share something of this good news, even with someone you've never met before. You know, Peter had never met Cornelius, but God put it in his heart to go and to speak to him. And I've been finding, as myself with a few others, we've gone to just keep trying to reach out to people in these days. We've been going out and just saying to people, look, from a local church, we want to help people at this time practically and spiritually. We want to help people not get isolated, but find community. And if there's anything we can do for you, do let us know and contact us. This is how. And we've often got talking with people. And the other day, myself and a couple of the interns from church went to do this. We went to kind of reach out to some people, and it was actually a bit outside of our comfort zone. There was rain, and it was kind of on and off rain. And we thought, are people going to stop? And yet we found lots of people were interested in just finding out more, or taking a little gospel that we were giving out, having carefully kind of wiped it down with antiseptic kind of wipes, and wanting to talk. In fact, one lady, she stopped and she said, you know what? My nan died recently, and I found her Bible, and I wanted to read it. I knew it was special to her, and I've never read the Bible before. And I'm so pleased I've bumped into you. And I kind of told her about what we've been speaking about how the whole Bible points to Jesus, that he's this rescuer, this one who brings salvation. And I shared with her how, as she can put her trust in Christ, that he can come in and help her in her life. And I showed her this prayer. We got it up here on the screen, a prayer where we can invite God and his rescue to come into our life. And I shared with her this. I said, look, you know, one of the things we can do is pray. And you pray something like this: Lord Jesus, I want to know you in a personal way. I'm sorry for ignoring you, disobeying you, and living life my own way. Please forgive me. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. Please come into my life as my Savior and Lord, and help me to love and obey you with all my heart. Amen. And I said to her, you know, do you understand that? And, you know, she said, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And I said, would you like to pray something like that even now here? And she said, yes, I'd love to. And so there on the street together, we just paused and we just prayed that prayer. And I would love to invite you, like that lady, to pray that prayer with me. If you've never asked Jesus to come and rescue you, to bring that salvation into your life, then why not right now echo these words with me? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I want to know you in a personal way. I'm sorry for ignoring you, disobeying you, and living my life my own way. Please forgive me. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. Please come into my life as my Savior and Lord. Help me to love and obey you with all my heart. Amen. Amen. If you pray that prayer with me, I would love to hear from you. Do again use that kind of next steps link. And if you've prayed something like that before, if you know of Jesus, then I want to encourage you to share it with someone. Do invite them to come along to Alpha, or share the link of this live stream with them, or just tell them something of your story, of what God has done in your life, of why Jesus is wonderful to you. And I want to pray for you that you would know the help of the Holy Spirit, and that I would know the help of the Holy Spirit, that we would be able to share Christ more in these days. So just think, who's around you? Who are those that God's put around you? Who are those kind of Corneliuses that are in your kind of sphere of influence? And as we just pause, think of them and let's pray for them. And then let me pray for us all together. Please, Lord, as we remember those around us, we ask for a fresh filling of your Spirit, Lord Jesus, to share about you. Help us, we pray. May this good news spread and scatter and touch the lives of many. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.